Welcome, everyone. It's nice being and speaking in another church when it's not a funeral, which I think is the only time I've spoken in the other churches here. But I'm just here really to give you some background to what we're doing and then start us off in prayer before Cameron gives the first of the seminars. What we're doing is looking, and this is an idea Cameron and I discussed for a while, looking at what makes a healthy church. Because for all of us, what's critical is not that it's our church, but that it's God's church, that it's healthy, that it's a church people attend, that people are committed, a church that sees others coming to Jesus and committing themselves to Christ. What we're asking today and are aiming to continue in next year is what makes a healthy church? What are the marks of a healthy church? But also, much more practically, how do we take those marks into our church? How do we make those churches more healthy? What are the things we actually have to look at? We've based this on a book called Nine Marks of a Healthy Church by Mark Deaver. It's available online at the website as well as published copies. And let's be honest, it doesn't cover everything. Mark's quite honest on it in the introduction, but there are others, particularly prayer. But we're simply covering some of the most important, and none of us is good at all of them. I mean, we can ask hard questions. How many people do we actually see coming to Christ, for example? And I think all of us would say we want to see many more. I think I get surprised in our church that we've seen people come to Christ. And if we compare ourselves with the parallel church in Tamora that's much bigger, we've seen more people come to Christ than they have. Yet, you can count the numbers on the fingers of one hand. And our numbers are the lowest of the main churches here in West Wellong and elsewhere. We're not healthy. I'm sure you can say the same things in certain areas about your church. So it's worth talking about and seeking to deliver change for all of us. Now, when we started discussing this, I have to say, I did think about whether Cameron and I should just give ourselves a pat on the back and an A+ for the first two topics and go on to the most obvious needs for our churches, on to the gospel, understanding conversion and evangelism, because ultimately we're about growing Christians and bringing new Christians into the kingdom. But both expositional preaching and biblical theology are things we hold to. With expositional preaching, which Cameron's talking on, other than Christmas Day, you can ask my congregation when's the last time I did anything else. It's actually 3 years ago, but whether they'd actually remember, because it's a long time. Yet I think out of the discussions, we both felt if we did not explain these, we were not establishing what we were doing, we were not establishing a basis for everything else. And providing others with an opportunity to critique us, how we go on with it, and also look at how it affects the other elements of the service in our churches. But also give people an understanding of Scripture, how Scripture tells of Jesus, and how we should seek to communicate it. There may be less change out of these seminars than from the later ones. We will ask how this alters our lives and affect how we communicate to others. We will ask, is there anything we need to change as a church? You may give us an A+ and say nothing. I very much doubt it. But even so, we need to understand this and make sure we establish the Word of God in our lives, in our church's life. It's the Word of God that brings the good news that we're working from. And without explaining how that tells of Jesus, we cannot make sure we've established a base to tackle the other issues. We need to work from all scripture is God-breathed, and its uses, as 2 Timothy speaks about, and work out how it affects our lives, our church's life. So let's pray. Father, we ask that you will work in our lives, our church's lives, to further your gospel, to establish it, and to bring it out into West Warlock, so that your Son might be glorified. Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Andrew, and welcome to the Presbyterians, to the community church. Nice to have you here with us. We were expecting some Anglicans, but not at the moment, apparently, so that's okay. But as Andrew said, it's always good to pause and think about what it is that we're on about as church, and in particular, as the title of this seminar would suggest, what makes a healthy church. So a question for you as we start. When we gather as church and have a church service, what's the most important thing that we do as we meet together? What's the most important thing that we do? If you had one thing you didn't want to chuck out, what would it be? People are the church, absolutely, yes. And the church, the word church means gathering, so it's as we come together. So it's about people. So what can we do? And Mark's suggesting that it should be reading the Bible. And I'd like to say that's that probably is the most important thing. As a preacher, I would like to about say preaching is the most important thing, but no, it's actually not. Reading God's word is important. And we actually read, don't we, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. I hope I've got that right. Can someone look that up for me, please? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. And when you found that, you began to have a finger in 2 Timothy chapter 3 as well, because we will look at that.
Until I come, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching.
Thank you. Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture and preaching and teaching. But the public reading of Scripture comes first. Because Scripture is the Bible is God's Word. As those of us who preach then preach and teach, we're fallible, and hopefully we are basing what we say on God's Word, but the Bible is God's Word. So certainly within a healthy church, the Bible must be prime, because it is the way that God speaks to us. In this marks of healthy church, the first mark of a healthy church that Mark Beaver suggests is actually expositional preaching. As Andrew said, you might be able to argue and twist the Rubik's Cube different ways and come up with other things. But he makes the case that expositional preaching is the ground on which everything else will take place. And it would suggest that, along with, I guess, the reading of the word, that expositional preaching is should be our basic diet. If we're to be fed and grow, how are we fed? We're fed on the word of God. Now, when we say expositional preaching, what's another kind of preaching? Biblical preaching hopefully is, well, biblical preaching, so we're certainly basing on the Bible. Then there's a couple of main things that are often contrast. One is topical preaching and one is expositional preaching. And they can both be biblical. So what's topical preaching? Topical preaching is when I think of a topic,
theme,
I want to talk about money, or I want to talk about sex, or I want to talk about work. And then I go looking through the Bible and finding verses which say what I want them to say about those things. And that can be the danger with when you start with a topic, is that you go looking for the passages which reinforce what you already know. And so you are setting the agenda and then looking for God's word to support it. The idea of expository preaching is that you start with the text, the scripture, and then it sets the agenda for where you're going. Now, within our church, I know Andrew does the same thing. That's probably the main reason that we spend a fair bit of our time preaching through not just a passage here this week and a passage there the next week and a passage from somewhere else, but we take a book of the Bible, or at least a part maybe of one of the major books. So most recently, today we've just finished working our way through the book of Malachi. Earlier in the year, we looked at part of Genesis, the story of Joseph. So we took a big slab. And so we're able to kind of work through a book or a major part of the book and let the Bible bring up what's in there. If we only ever sort of preach topics we want to think on, there's things we'll miss. And it's easy even in expositional preaching to, as a preacher, to kind of bring your pet topic into it. That's always a danger for us to have our pet ideas. But at its best, expositional preaching allows God's word to direct direct what's said. It gives shape to what's preached, to what's proclaimed, to the sermon. We actually have an example of expository preaching, I guess, in the Bible itself. Can someone look up Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, and read it out, please? So the law is read, the law of God, the Torah is read, and then it's explained, so they understand. And indeed, that's what preaching should be, taking the Bible and explaining what is in there so that it can be understood. And through that, and through explanation, God speaks to us through his word. And that will involve doing things like looking at the context, looking at what's going on historically, indeed looking at what's going on grammatically in a text which is originally in another language, and then bringing those things to bear on what we say. Expositional preaching, and that's not to say other kinds of preaching can't, but expositional preaching presumes that the Bible is God's authoritative word. And that's what we're wanting to bring to people. And I know that's what both Andrew and I are trying to do. Whether or not we do it well, you can talk about that in a minute. But that's what we're seeking to do. And so by allowing the word to speak, at its best, again, it means that God is speaking through his word. The preacher is doing his best job to explain the text, to communicate what God is saying in that part of Scripture. But because it's God's word rather than just my ideas that I'm expounding, then God has a chance to speak better than I can even speak as you listen to the word proclaimed. I don't know what Andrew does, but I know I'm always saying, can you keep your Bible open? Because I'm wanting you to look at the Bible when I'm preaching. I'm wanting that to be kind of at the core of your focus. And because that's what I'm trying to preach from. And obviously in different ways, in different times, you know, do other things. But essentially, we want it in expository preaching. The idea is that we're letting that passage, the passage for the day, be the main thing, be the thing that's spoken on. That's not to say we don't illuminate that passage of Scripture with other passages of Scripture, but we're following one path as our main guide there. And it will vary. So, I mean, I find sometimes I perhaps preach less expository at times will use that passage to focus on a particular topic. So perhaps go wider in other scriptures in those times. The other thing that expositional preaching, and particularly preaching through books, it allows us to get through the whole counsel of God. And that's important, that we're hearing from different parts of Scripture. And I know that if left to my own devices, there's topics I would never want to get to because they're a bit hard to preach on. But if you go, well, I'm going to preach through these different books, these topics come up, you know, the hard topics that often challenge us. In our society, speaking on money can touch a nerve for a lot of people. And you might go, I don't really want to face that at the moment. I've got my own problems with money, so I won't preach on it. But if we are preaching through God's word, then God's word will speak, and God's word covers the range of topics. And ultimately, it is God's word that sustains us. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And I think so sitting under God's word in that expository manner is something that over time does help us grow and mature as Christians. Of course, God's word is necessary for us to hear for our conversion, and that'll be something that we get to next year as we carry on. But it's God's word that directs our lives, and it's through his word that God, by his spirit, changes us from the inside out and conforms us into the image of his Son.
Can you just open up your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3? Andrew's already alluded to this verse, part of it, but we'll read a little slab of it, because if we're talking about preaching in the Word, it's good to hear the Word on it. So would someone like to read from verse 14, 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 14, and probably just down to chapter 4, verse 2.
But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in the view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction.
Okay, thanks for that. So,
what are the Holy Scriptures, as they are read and as they are proclaimed, what are they able to do? What's the first thing that Paul says they are able to do there?
Teaching.
Before that, verse 15. Before that, verse 15.
Wise
for
salvation.
So Yeah, so the Bible, God's Word, these scriptures are telling us how we can be saved, how we can be made right with God. And that's the fundamental point, that without God's Word, without God's revelation to us, we wouldn't know what to do. We wouldn't know how we could be saved. We know we can't save ourselves, we know that. But God's Word...
We need to be saved.
So it shows us our need, it shows us how we can be saved. And that is, as it says, through faith in Christ Jesus, through relying on what he's done. Okay, so if we want to see people become Christians, well, we need to be proclaiming the word. And for those of us who have been in the church for years and are Christians, well, we still need to be reminded of that constantly, that we are saved for our faith in Christ. It's easy to kind of drift off, but we need that constant reminder. So as the word is preached, as the Bible is preached, we're reminded and reinforced and grounded in the salvation we have through our faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, then there's some other things that that Scripture is able to do. So what were they?
Teaching.
Rebuking, yeah.
Correcting.
And training in righteousness. And it's interesting, before we even get onto those things, that Paul says that it's God-breathed. We believe that this is God's word, that he breathed out, that he inspired those who wrote it down. It's not just human ideas, it is the word of God to us. And so because of that, it is useful not only to make us wise for salvation, but to then teach us. So we learn, because there are things that we need to learn. So there's things we need to understand, and not just learn for the sake of academic knowledge, but so we grow both in our knowledge, but in our love for the Lord, in our response to him. So we learn how we are to live in response to his love. And then that teaching is a kind of a positive thing, isn't it? Well, there's things we can learn. But the next two sound a bit harsher, don't they? Rebuking. Mm-hmm. Correcting. And indeed, I say again, that's why we kind of try to preach through slabs of scripture and go through, because it will bring up different topics that we might not otherwise get to. And even if it's almost a line in God's word that we're not spending a lot of time on, even having that read in the context of the gathering of God's people, God can speak. So that's why we kind of keep coming back to the word. And not just pointing out where we're wrong, it shows, it corrects us, it points us into the right direction. It shows us how we should live. And indeed, as the last one in there says, training in righteousness. Training in righteousness. That's what God's word is useful for. So that's why we preach, and that's why the reading and the sermon is a fair slab of what we do when we're together, so that God can speak to us. And training in righteousness. How are we made right with God?
Through Jesus'
righteousness. But yet we need to be trained in righteousness to live out that which we are declared to have because of our faith in Jesus. Surely we want to, and God tells us to actually grow in lived out righteousness, in lived out holiness. And the only way we're going to know what that looks like is as we read and proclaim God's word. So, and as we do that, as we take those parts and do those things, what then happens in verse 17?
Equipped
for every good work. So it's not just about intellectual knowledge that we're preaching, hopefully. It's not just about even an emotional response. It's about something that leads to action, to good works that have been prepared in advance for us to do. That's why, going to chapter 4 there, Paul gives that charge to Timothy. And it's a solemn charge. He says, in the presence of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in the view of the appearing of his kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. So this is why in this 9 Mark's particular way of looking at things and saying this actually is the foundational thing. This is where we start with exposition of God's word. And it is important, and we might think it's sort of obvious, and in a sense it is, but let me tell you, if you go looking at churches on YouTube and so forth, there's some good stuff out there, but there is also plenty of stuff where the next verse in 2 Timothy kicks in. The time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And so we do have people who are preaching, but it could be inspiring talk at a self-help course or something. It's kind of might refer to a biblical phrase or a biblical word, but it's not actually taking what God has said and explaining it. It's kind of trying to G people up. And so we've got to always be starting with God's word. Starting with God's word. Okay, so question then. Actually, we've got two churches here, so we can split into two. No, we won't split into two groups. But talk to someone next to you from your church, and just say, I guess, talk to each other. Just you ask, want to talk about? Is that how I'm viewing what it is I'm listening to on Sunday morning? Is that what I'm coming expecting to hear? And is that what I'm hearing? Or does Cameron and Andy need to get their act together?
Yeah.
And do this a whole lot better. And there may be a bit of both in there, and that's fine. We're not immune from suggestion and criticism. But just have a talk about, does that match your understanding of what it is you're coming to on Sunday morning for that preaching? Chat amongst yourselves. It's got 2 minutes only. Okay, I want to keep moving. So, has anybody got anything from your discussion that you want to feed back to the whole group?
Yeah, it was kind of.
Come on.
Sorry, it was kind of a thing for me because I'm new to church. I was literally didn't believe in any of this not that long ago, but anyway. So the reason why I like anyone can read from this book from beginning to end.
Yeah.
And that's what God says and everything like that. But the reason why I come into church is because I need help in how to do the stuff he says and when and where and how and all that other kind of thing. That's why I come to church.
Mm.
Yeah? If you just want to know God's word, you just read from me. But all the other stuff, that's what I don't know. I don't know if anyone else is like that.
And we were saying that is enabled by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Speaking through the preacher, the music, the whatever.
Yep.
Especially
the role of the Holy Spirit, critical.
I can come expectant. If I don't get uplifted or whatever, it may not be the fault of the preacher or the musician in a way.
Yeah.
It may be that I haven't really been open to the work of the Holy Spirit, because that's God's word that is far above my understanding.
Yeah.
And it's only the Holy Spirit that takes that word. And also, I shouldn't every week expect to be uplifted. My biggest problem is my mind wanders off on all sorts of tracks. So it's...
And it's interesting, we want to come to church and be encouraged, but there are times when we're actually listening to what God's saying, we are going to be rebuked. And challenged. And it's not always easy to sit under the word of the Holy God. And Mark's right, we can just read it, and hopefully but in the expository preaching, hopefully, because it's written 2,000 years ago or more, and in different languages at different times, so hopefully as we look to explain and to expound what's on the page there, some of those things which it should help deepen the understanding. A lot of scripture is self-evident. As Mark Twain said, it's not the parts of scripture I don't understand that worry me, it's the parts I do. he was really convicted by the word of God. That's what he meant by that. So you don't need a degree in theology to be able to read the Bible and grow and be spoken to by the Spirit through the word that he inspired. But yet God has given us each other with different gifts and skills to be able to help each other grow. And so hopefully we're doing that well. Are there any quick questions or other comments that anybody would like to make?
I think one thing that's really important that we'll be going on to is biblical theology. Because, and this is partly in response to what Mark's saying, there's a lot of scripture that's really easy to understand. Some of the big picture, particularly the Old Testament, when we'll come to this, can be really difficult. And this is why expository preaching has meant I've preached sermons on difficult passages. I wouldn't have touched otherwise. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure Cameron can say the same.
Mm-hmm. That's right. There's books written on this subject. Most of them are written for preachers, not for listeners to understand the purpose of expository preaching. And we've just scratched the surface, and that's all we're really wanting to do that, and we've got time for. So what we're going to do now is we're going to pause and have a break.
Yep. Can I suggest